Okay, so last week we spoke at the Rambam Zikarim, and we noted the inherent problems in the Rambam Zikarim, not necessarily in the beliefs themselves, but in why they were counted at all, right? The whole project of Zikarim. Once we're talking about Zikarim, why you pick those, why you couldn't group them differently. We explored different possibilities. Were they written for polemical reasons to strengthen people's amunah, and therefore particularly things that were under attack were chosen? Was this the Rambam's opinion that the minimal amount you need to believe to get into the world to come were these 13 things? So that's what we dealt with last week. And we raised some of the critiques, and some of the critiques are really from other accounts of the Ikarim. So we decided to do this week is two more accounts of the Ikarim. We'll focus on Rav Zev Albo, but we're also going to mention Rav Chasdai Kreskes. So a quick biography in opposite order. Rav Chasdai Kreskes, very interesting philosopher. He lives in Christian Spain, in Saragossa, circa 1341 to beginning of the 15th century, beginning of the 1400s. Fascinating thinker. Is very interested in Aristotelian philosophy, primarily for the purpose of disproving it. Right, he really moves away, meaning he uses the methods of Greek philosophy and logic, but to disprove a lot of the earlier philosophers, or argue on the earlier philosophers, Rambam Udihimei. And he's a very unique thinker, has some very, very controversial views, which we're not going to get into today. But he has some very controversial views, specifically his opinion about free will and the extent to which he does or does not believe in it, which is a little bit complicated. So that's Rav Chasdai Kreskes. His student, or Rabbi Yosef Albo, is a student of his, among other people. Rabbi Yosef Albo is also a student of Rashbat, of Rishon B'Tzemach Duran, also influenced by Rabag. Rabbi Yosef Albo is also Christian Spain, Saragossa, circa 1380 to 1424. He writes the work of Rav Chasdai Kreskes called Or Hashem. Rav Albo writes a work called Sefer Ikarim. Now, Sefer Ikarim is a popular work. It's written in much less dense philosophical terms, as you'll see when we get to it, than pretty much anything else we've read so far. And most things we've read have been much more sophisticated. Have been written in much more technical philosophical terms. Sefer Ikarim was meant to be a popular work. For that reason, traditionally, it wasn't given its due. People thought that it wasn't a serious work, that it was just recording other people's views and popularizing them, but not necessarily thinking about how different views of his teachers work together, and they think there's contradictions. There is a branch of scholarship that thinks this is not true. I ascribe to it that Rav Zev Albo himself, in the beginning of the second Ma'amar, notes that he, like the Rambam, is going to be writing esoterically. And I think the Sefer Ikarim is actually a very, very sophisticated work. I happen to particularly love the Sefer Ikarim. We'll get to it. One of the reasons he may have written, though, a more popular work is that in 1403, 1404, he was part of the disputation at Tortosa. You know what the disputations were in the medieval period, right? You know the Ramban's disputation. You've heard of it. What? Not the Pope per se, but there were priests. The Church would initiate these debates, these disputations between Jews and priests, and in an attempt to persuade Jews to convert. So there was a very, very large one in Tortosa in 1403, 1404, where they took up many, many, many Jews, but they didn't give them any access to books, which made it very hard, and it was a disaster, and a lot of people converted to Christianity afterwards. One of the people who was in that debate was Rav Yosef Albo, and possibly one of the reasons he wrote Sefer Ikarim was in response to this, to strengthen people's faith. But if you're strengthening people's faith en masse, you need something which is more popular. Okay, so that's background. Now, each of them has a count of Ikarim, which we mentioned quickly last week, but now we'll see it inside. Now, I didn't put the English because my general rule is I like doing it in the original, and here it actually was, both of them were actually written in Hebrew. But you'll see that the Hebrew is relatively easy. So this is two prakim from the first Ma'amar, and we'll see what Reuven Albo thinks an Ikar should be and what he counts, okay? So let's start. So Ikar, right? What is an Ikar? Shem hunach al davar shamidat davar achar v'kiyumo talui bo v'ein lo kiyum zilote. So what is an Ikar? Right? Translate the sentence. It's something that what? Well, just this sentence, right? Al davar shamidat davar acher v'kiyumo talui bo v'ein lo kiyum zilote. Something else is contingent on it and would cease, would collapse, right? Would collapse if it weren't for it, right? So already, and we mentioned this last week, right? For the Rambam, how do you translate the word ikar? And this is part of the problem with the Rambam, right? An ikar for Rambam is what? A dogma, a tenet of faith, something like that, right? Things you have to believe, right? But really, really, what does the word ikar mean? It means foundation. It means essence. It means something, as he said, some, or the Latin for this would be sine qua non, right? Without which there would be nothing, right? The defining characteristics. So that's what he thinks an ikar is. Kimosha ikar hu davar shekiyum ilan taluibo, right? Just like an ikar of a tree, or the roots of a tree are that which the tree is contingent on. V'lo yitzuyar mitziyud ha'ilan v'kiyumo zulato. And the tree couldn't exist without them. So too, right? Ikar of faith is that which the religion would collapse without it. Rabbeinu Zal Nishtamshu Lazon Azar Abay Amru Davar Sheish Lo Ikar B'Da'oraita She'ein Lo Ikar. And Chazal uses this phrase all the time. Does something have its essence found in the Torah or not? Umizat Zad Yipol Zah Hashem Al Shar Hashem Vayisadot Shamidat Hadat Nekiyumata Lo Ibahem. And based on this, we use this phrase about, right now we use an interchangeable word, the Shar Hashem, the roots, and the essentials that religion is contingent on k'momit Yod Hashem, like the existence of God, shemuvar min yanoshu ukar shehamanat echrechit la'Torah Elohi, which is necessary for the Torah, she'efshar l'tzayer mitziyut Torah Elohi zulato, that you couldn't imagine the Torah without it. Ulofizeh ra'ui shenachkori ilu advarim she'ra'ui shenchu ikarim b'dar Elohi. So based on this, we should figure out what are the ikarim for religion. Now, So the first thing you have to note is what he thinks an ikar is. The second thing is, what is he looking for the ikar of? Right? Now, what, next three words. Ikarim bidat Elohi. What is an ikar bidat Elohi? An ikar of?
Like the religion of God.
No, not the religion of God. Right? There's no hey, yidiyah, this is important. Right? Right, you're close,
right.
But
knowledge.
No, that elite. You're close. Just remove the hey and
yeah. A godly
religion. Exactly, a godly religion. Right, there's a difference. Right, right? It's not the ikar of Judaism. It's right, necessarily, it's the ikar of any godly religion. Right, that he wants. What are the defining factors of religion generally? Now, when we talk about the ikar of Judaism, it's, right, it's those ikarim plus how they manifest themselves within Judaism. But when if you're going down to the essentials, right, he's not asking what is the essentials of Judaism. It's what is the essentials of religion, of godly religion. Right, there are non-godly religions, as we mentioned last week, like arguably Buddhism, right, which is non-atheistic. But we're talking about godly religion. Vihine, now he says vihine haRambam zal samotam yud gimel ikarim. The Rambam thought there were 13. What were they? Right, we saw them last week. Shem Mitzuda, Shem Achdut, Archakad Gashmut. Right, the existence of God, His unity, His incorporeality, Shu Kadmon, His eternal nature, that He's primordial, whatever. Sherawi Lavdovul Zulato, you should serve Him. Hanivua, prophecy, Univuat Masher Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom, and the specific Nivu of Moshe. V'Torah Min Hashamayim. So now, with his background of what he thinks Nikar is, we will see the critiques he raised in the Rambam. He says, "Vinish al rishonal ilay karim shenichotam Rambam zal." Lama samutam v'misparuhu v'amar shehem yud gimel. Why would he have chosen 13? V'zeh. Right, so it makes sense, Right? Some of these make sense. Right? It's not crazy. Right? Saying the Rambam's kind of not insane. These are all very important things. Because they are necessary for the Torah of Moshe. That, okay, makes sense. I understand why he chose the uniqueness of Moshe, because if you didn't choose the uniqueness of Moshe, another Navi could come and uproot Judaism. And if you didn't believe in the eternity of Torah, so you could imagine that the Torah would become batel when the Jews left their land, right? Or in other words, you can imagine Christianity and Islam. When we call makom, kvar yekshev, but still, lama yimnach dud baracha gad agashmur bikarim, why is the unity of God and the incorporeality of God counted as separate karim? Sha'avim heim emunot amitiyot, right? Again, right? Remember the problem we raised last week, is not necessarily our the Rambam's Ikarim true, or things you have to believe, but are they Ikarim? So he said, even if they're true, Rosh Aminam called Baal Torah Moshe, and everyone who believes in Torah should believe them, Kariyev Sharla Marshain, Rayu Laminotam Bikarim. There's good reason to think they're not Ikarim. Kilo Tipa Torah, Hip, Chalam, Yamin, Vechilufam. Right? Because is the Torah going to collapse if you don't believe in them? You might have to believe in them, but if you believe in God, and you believe in God that God revealed himself at Sinai, but you don't think that God is one, right? You think God is Trinitarian. So that may be wrong. It may be heresy. Maybe a Fotozora. But technically, Judaism wouldn't collapse.
Wouldn't it?
I mean, not really, right? If you believe that there was God, right? And God revealed himself at Sinai, but you have some misunderstanding, fine, or incorporeality, right? You believe in God, but you think God has a body, right? And that, a big body, a huge body, right? There were Rishonim who thought this. Ramosha Taku thought that God had a big body, a really large body, right? Eternally big, whatever. I don't know exactly. I can't really quite parse Ramosha Taku. But there were people who thought that. Religion can, in theory, still continue. It may be wrong. It may be heresy. Not the point. Torah would not necessarily collapse logically. Also, why did you count you should serve God and no one else? That's true, it's a mitzvah. It's not an ikar, right? Like, in what sense did the Torah actually build on it? Right, one theory could believe that the Torah is true, God is true, but God, you know, relates to the world through a medium. You violate Avodah Zarah, that's true. But the Torah as a system could in theory still continue. Lama yimne ota rav zalikar. This, I think, is the most compelling. He said, look, if you believe in reward and punishment, you just happen to not believe in the world to come. Or you don't believe in Tias HaMesim. You believe in some other form of Shkar Ba'onesh. Right? Religion, Judaism would not collapse. Right? The nafkamin of whether or not there is Tias HaMesim and how you understand Tias HaMesim is irrelevant to how we actually live Judaism. It's something we have to believe, right? It's something that you might be a heretic for not believing in it. But practically, day to day, Judaism doesn't collapse if you don't believe in that, right? So why do we count this? So he backs off and he says, well, let's take from the other side. Right? What's clear so far is that if the Rambam thinks Ikar is what I think an Ikar is, right? In essence, a building block, a foundation, this is just a disaster of a count. Okay, so let's say it's not. Let's say it is what the Rambam actually thinks it is, which is a dogma, right? Okay, that's good. Then what about all the things he doesn't count, right? Right? If you think it's a foundation, you have too many. If you think it's a dogma, you have too few. Right? Why don't you believe that God has, that God's presence rests in Israel? Why don't you believe that God created the world? Like the Rambam himself says. Why don't you include all the miracles? Right. So the problem is, right, if you think it's dogma, there's too few. If you think that it's foundation, there's too many. So as we noted, that's what the solutions we suggested last week come to solve, is that either for some reason the Rambam thinks these are unique dogmas, which clearly Sefer Grimm does not think, right, these are unique dogmas that get you into Olam Haba, or alternatively, it's simply polemical, or it's meant to strengthen weak beliefs that were particularly weak. If that's the case, so it makes sense. In fact, there is nothing unique about these 13. Just happens to be that Rambam, at his time, had to formulate these 13. In a different generation, we might formulate different ones. Okay, and then anyway, he continues with this, and if, right, the next paragraph, right, if you think, and I'll just summarize it here, right, if you think that he only counted Ikarim, but not things that Jews have to believe, so what about Mesorah? Right, Mesorah is very important in Judaism. In fact, everything is based in Mesorah in Judaism. Or what about Bechira? Right, what about the fact that we were chosen, which is also fundamental? Right, he keeps going back and forth, that, right, Mamanav Shach, if it's an Ikar, right, there are things he left out. If it's even if it's an Ikar, he left it out. If it's dogma for sure, he left things out. Right, he thinks Bechira you need, or Judaism falls apart. And Kabbalah, the notion of Mesorah. And he said some people think that the Yud Gimel Ikarim were chosen to parallel the 13 Midot of God and the 13 Midot that the Torah is addressed by. And he said, that's stupid, right? That's just what he said, right? This is just as far from Seichel as could possibly be, because what does that have to do with anything? Okay? So now, skip down. So he said, okay, there are other people who think, there are some people who think that there are 26. I have no idea who thinks there are 26. I just don't know who thinks that. There apparently was somebody who thought this. Right, and what was the problem when you have 26? Right, what does he say? He counted everything that came to mind. Right, right. At some point, there was somebody else who looked at the Rambam and said, "There's a problem. There's not enough." So, what did he do? He started chucking in other things. Right. Okay. Then he came to 26. Wonderful. Will, power, etc., etc., etc. Okay. Zulazim in our terms, Zulazim Rach, and everything else you could describe God with. Umana Gan Eden, Ikar Echad, Gehenim Ikar Echad. He counted heaven and hell. There's two more. Udvarim Achirim Marbim Hevel, and other things that are just right vanity and futile. Kizai Ishlo Shatli Bolavin Milat Ikar, Mamazi Ipol Zashem. The person didn't even bother thinking about what the word Ikar possibly means. There are other people who were careful about the Ikar and therefore took the Rambam's model and added a little bit and subtracted a little bit and, you know, tweaked it. And they said and said that there are six. And we'll get to that. This is Rabbi's, this is Chasek Kreskes. And what were his six? Shehem Yidiyat Hashem Vashkecha Vayecholi Vanevuah Vechira Vatachlit. Right, 6 + 3. So we'll get to it that Chasdei Kreskes counted 6 + 3. He seems to have counted as an ikar that which is essential to Judaism, right? Right. We Rabbi Yosef Albos, we'll see, thinks that an ikar is what's essential to religion. Chasdei Kreskes seems to have identified that which is unique to Judaism, that Judaism uniquely rests on. So he added knowledge of God, providence, the ability of God, prophecy, chosenness, and tachlit, which is the point of the Torah, which whatever he includes in that, and we'll get to it a little bit, not so much, But the purpose of the Torah, right, in addition to the three Ikarim about the existence of God, His unity, and incorporeality. That even if this is the case, I would have added more, such as the Rambam, right? Once you're going for things which are more than really Ikarim, I would have added more. Such as Torah and Hashamayim, and Bechira and Tachlit. I don't know if I would have put it, because they're not necessarily for religion generally, even though they are at some level critical to Judaism. So he doesn't like this count either. Okay, so that's the first chapter, right? So this is basically his critique of the systems that exist before him. So now let's read his. Now this is technically it's not his own. He incorporated it from Rav Shimon ben Tzemach Duran, the Rashbats. But going to Perek Dalet, I want you to read it carefully, because I think he's very, very compelling in terms of what he's doing. And you'll see how he's very, very true, and you'll see how many of the problems that we raised in the Rambam really do dissipate, right? He's very moved on. A lot of the problems we talked about last week, you see, come from this critique. But he really thought very much about the word Ikar means, and he's very true to it in developing the three. And you'll see, and right here, because he's so careful about the word Ikar, what he's doing is he's giving you a prescription for religion, right? He's asking the question, what is religion generally? And, right, then fill in the blanks to each of these three, how do they play themselves out in Judaism? But, right, because he's so careful about the word Ikar, unlike the Rambam, he's not just saying, here are a bunch of things you have to believe. He's actually going, what are the foundations of belief? So, Perek Dalet. Haderach hanachon shireli b'svir ha'ikrim shem shorshim v'sodot l'tarai l'hit ki'akrim ha'kolim ha'kirim l'dat l'hit heim shlosha. And that which is necessary for religion are three. What are they? Mitzvot Hashem, God, hashkacha l'skar v'onesh, right? Providence of reward and punishment, v'torah min ha'shamayim, right? So religion in general and Judaism in specific, right, needs these three things, right? The first two are for religion in general, right? Is that you need God and you need reward and punishment, and then you need some sort of Torah min Hashamayim is unique to Judaism, but any religion, Dat Elohit, would need sort of some communication between God and man, so you know what you're supposed to do. Right? So if we had to divide what he's saying, right, we would say religion in general needs three things. Right, God, communication from God and people, and then consequences for doing or not doing what God said. And Judaism that plays itself out specifically as God, reward and punishment, and Torah min Hashamayim. Ve'ilu ha'shlosha heim avot l'chol ha'ikarim asher l'datot ha'eloviyot kmo Torah Adam v'Torah Noach v'Torah Avraham v'Torah Moshe. And this is the basis for any religion, right? Not just Judaism, right? These three models, right, is the basis of the Torah, quote-unquote, meaning the religion of Adam and Noah and Avram and Moshe, right? So you see, he doesn't just mean Judaism. He means religion in general, and then its instantiation in Judaism. But Noah didn't have Torah, our Torah, but the Shiva Mitzvah and Noah were communicated to man from God. Under these, there are obviously many branches, right? And they go into the Rambams. Right? Under the existence of God. So what are you going to put from the Rambam? Right?
Oneness.
Right? God's unity, His incorporeality, right? All that's going to go, the fact that He's eternal, all that's going to go under that. Under Torah min Hashamayim, what's going to go? That the Torah will never be changed. Prophecy, Moshe's prophecy, and Skar Va'onesh. Skar Va'onesh, Mashiach, Tiyasa Mesa. Right? All of Rambam's 13 basically can be broken down to these three, but the advantage of the number, right, of the formulation, and we'll stop here for a moment. You can tell me whether you think Rabbi Yosef Albo succeeds. I think he does, right, in making a very strong argument for why one would move away from, right, taking the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim as essential, right? Meaning as an essential count, right? Because if I asked you, right, what do you get out of the Rambam's 13? So if you think, like we saw last week from the Brisker Rav, that this is the basic minimum of things you need to believe to go in the world to come, okay, so we've answered a pragmatic question. These are the things you have to believe. But At some level, realism Abba has answered a much more fundamental question, which is, well, really two fundamental questions. Right? One is, what does it mean for religion to be divine? And two is, what is Judaism? Right? And those questions he answered very simply. For a religion to exist, a godly religion to exist, there needs to be a God, communication to man in some way, shape, or form, and consequences. And in Judaism, that means God and everything that comes with it, Torah min ha-shamayim, and all the beliefs that come with that, right? The Nevuah, Nevuah Moshe, etc., and consequences, right? Everything else is commentary, right? But if you ask me, what are the bases, right? Isolate the main parts, you know, explain Judaism to me in a nutshell, boil it down to the essentials, right? I think he actually does a very, very good job at doing that. Right, he goes on, right, how you can take all the Rambam's Yud Gimel Karim and boil them down to these three. You skip to the next paragraph. Okay, we'll hold that for a second. Okay, right, so far that's his claim. So, any questions, comments about his claim? People think he's successful in making a strong argument for why, at some level, these should be counted uniquely. Right? I think he does, but I think it does. Right? I think, or more natural. Right? If you think the Rambam is doing it polemically, so then we can be modded. We can say, look, the Rambam was doing it polemically, and in his time, it was necessary to delineate these. But if you want to ask the fundamental question, right? Really, the question you have to ask is these three. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, just with regard to that, using this as a response to the Christianity, surely they could work Christianity into these.
For sure. Right. Remember, he said that there's two parts of it. There's what he's trying to do is describe religion first and foremost, and then secondary is how does Judaism fit into that? But yeah, the three main categories he thinks are essential not just to Judaism, to all religions, right? He says it over and over that these are the yesodot of any dot Elohim. And you're right, that's why Christianity and Islam would all fit into those categories. They all believe in some conception of God, some conception of communication, and some consequences.
So then could it argue that the Rambam Zikarim are far better to increase the nation's faith?
So that goes back to the question last week, is what are you trying to accomplish by counting the Karim? Right? And that's why I said, if the Rambam is doing this polemically to educate, then you're right, he's much more effective because he spells out the things that need strengthening. But if you're trying to ask a fundamental philosophical question, what is the nature of religion, and how is Judaism, how do those building blocks express themselves in Judaism, right? The Rambam, you have to go back and, right? And that's the point we made last week, is that a lot of it is not semantic, is semantics, right? It's what are you calling an ikar and why are you counting it? Right? And that's really the question we asked last week. That's what Rabbi Yosef Albo is asking on the Rambam. And the Rambam we saw has trouble. Rabbi Yosef Albo is a very simple point. When I talk about ikarim, I want to define religion for you, and then I want to define Judaism for you. For that, there are three basic categories you need, right? God, communication, consequences. In Judaism, that means God and how we understand God, Torah min ha-shamayim, and Schar v'Onesh, which includes Tchias HaMeisim, Mashiach, etc. Right? But, right, there's the model, there's the tab, you know, the basic model of religion, there's Judaism, and I'm answering a fundamental philosophical question. The Rambam, and that's why I tend to think the polemical argument in the Rambam is the most compelling, is spelling it out because he's taking the aspects of those three that are particularly under attack. So yes, but you see how, depending on your goals, what you're trying to accomplish when you're writing Ikarim, right, you're going to come to very different numbers, right? So for asking the fundamental question, I think Rabbi Yosef was better. If we're talking educationally, right, there's something to be said for spelling it out.
Well, Rabbi Albo is objective. Meaning he's giving Ikarim that will be anywhere, everywhere, throughout the generations.
Yeah, and that's the benefit. That, I think, the real benefit, right, is that, like I said, like if the Rambam lived now, I think he would formulate a separate ikar about against biblical criticism, right? Because, right, he was critiquing Christianity, right? But if he had known that there would be another way of critiquing Torah Misinai and our traditional understanding of Torah Misinai, so he'd formulate another ikar. For example, Allah, we would never have to do that. Because Rav Albo is just saying this is the model, and then you figure out all the details. There's a million of them. Okay. One more point I want to make parenthetically about Albo, and then we'll move to Rav Chasdai Kreskes, is that one of the nice things, and this helps Rav Albo become popularized, is what he does right after this. But before we read it inside, let me ask you a question. Right? This is a point I once heard from the former chief rabbi of England when he came to speak at YU. Rabbi Dr. Lord, Sir, Jonathan Sachs, Shlita, whatever. He made the point, right? For the average human being, for the average Jew, right? What is the book that he comes into contact with most that acts as a philosophical work? So he made the compelling argument that it's probably the Siddur, right? That the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim, right? Someone might not be able to formulate all of them, but a 4-year-old can sing Yigdal, which is some manifestation of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, right? So I think that's a very good point. That at some level, for the average person who's not reading, philosophical works. Right, the basic essentials, the best way, right? The reason that the best-selling book in Jewish bookstores is always just the Siddur, right? And there's always new Siddurim coming out, is because for your average person, what they're interacting with every day is davening, right? So if you want to highlight what people should believe, right? Everyone knows we believe that God is one because we say Shema twice a day, right? And that's what we start teaching our little kids from day one. So, Rizzo Albo, as being a more popularized work, one of the interesting things about the work is that he, many times throughout the work, will have a whole long, very sophisticated, as you saw, philosophical analysis, and then he will show you how it finds its place in the Siddur, right? Which is very helpful if you want to popularize things. So here, I don't know if we have to read inside, we'll read inside, it's not long. He finds a place in Tefillah where you see that these are the three, right? So think for a second. Where do we find the three, right? What Tefillah do we find that has a big, very important number three that might correspond to these three Karim? So that would be a good one. He doesn't find it there though. Maybe he could have. I haven't really thought about it too much. He finds it in Shemoneh Esrei of
Shabbos.
Rosh Hashanah, right? The centerpiece of Rosh Hashanah, first day, right? Rosh Hashanah, beginning of the year, we're being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have this very long Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf with three big brachot, and he says, "V'hamurel yot shloshei karem alalu shorish v'yisod amunah shei adam atzachadu amitid." Why? So why did Anshei Knesset Gedolah set it up? Lahir Lev Adam, right? To awaken your heart. Ki Bamanati Karim Alalu Imsi Fehem Vishar Shem Kimashari is Kadam Bidino Lifne Hashem. Right? Because in order to have God judge you favorably, it's very nice to reinstill the three basics in all their details. And now he spells it out. Ki berchat amalchiyot hu keneged ikar mitzvot Hashem. When you're mamlich God, when you make him king, what do you stress? That God is?
One.
Well, exists. And is one, right? What's the closing pasuk that we use in Malchiyot, for example? No, the last. What's the tenth pasuk? Shema Yisrael, right? We have nine about Malchus and then Shema. Right? It's clear that the way the Pesukim we've chosen, Malchus is about God's existence. The Orels and Nusach Bracha, and the Bracha itself. We want to see your glory. Get rid of the Zarva. And the idols will be destroyed. To establish the world in your kingdom. Yakiru V'yedu Kol Yoshvei Tevel, right? Think about the parts, the piyutim and the psukim and everything we say in Malchiyot. It's about the existence of God, His uniqueness, His oneness, the getting rid of Avodah Zarah. Everyone will serve Him. Two, v'chein v'erchad zichronot. What's zichronot about? Reward and punishment. Think about it, right? Tarel askachav askar vonesh. Ken yorendu sacha bracha. Atazo cher mase olam. You remember everything. Poke kol yisrei kedem. And you? What's poke?
Remember.
No, poke is you act on that remembrance. Right? Letov l'ra. Right? Poke. Right? Poke avon avod al banim. Right? Or Hashem pakad et sarah. Right? Poke is you reward or you punishment. You act on remembrance. Right? It's providence and... Right, it's omniscience, it's providence, it's reward and punishment. Uberchat ashofarot, and what's shofar? Matan Torah. Right, that's what it is. It's right here, lemoz al yikar ashlishisha Torah min hashamayim. And his proof is, okeini matchelet atan nikleita banan kodecha. How does it start? You revealed yourself in your cloud of glory with a shofar to speak with us. Min hashamayim ishmatam kolecha, from heaven you spoke to us. Right, the fish of matan Torah mitzvot kol shofar chazak ma'od kamal lo niyem min olam. The great shofar road, etc. Right, and then he continues to describe it. So we won't finish. You can read it yourself. But what I think is fascinating about Rabbi Yosef Albo is at a popularized work, he does a very good job of not just talking this complicated philosophy, but then giving you something to hang it on so you can think about it. And it also, by the way, happens to act as a proof for his shita, right? The fact that he identifies in Chazal, right? Because this is hard, and this is an important point, is that you would have thought, if we're giving, you know, the highlights of Jewish philosophy, I should have started with, well, either Chumash or Chazal, right? I didn't. Why didn't I? Because they are not philosophical works. Meaning, there's philosophy in them, but they don't write philosophically, they don't write philosophical treatises. That's not the style, that's not the genre. So where are you going to look if you want to figure out what Chazal's philosophy was? Right, where are you going to look? So one of the places you're going to look is in the Siddur. Right? The Siddur is something that was instituted. It's something that Chazal set up so that people would think about it on a daily or yearly or monthly or whatever, depending on which tefillah, right, on a regular basis, and therefore would, right, internalize. So this both acts as a good place to look for the philosophy of Chazal, and also practically acts as a good mnemonic to make sure people remember what you're actually teaching them. Right, so I think, right, not only is his attaching a tefillah helpful because it helps it, you know, proliferate amongst the common person, it also is helpful because it actually grounds it in Chazal, because Chazal don't write philosophical works, but they did institute tefillah, right? So I think he has a good proof that the fact that on Rosh Hashanah Chazal did pick these three brachot does, at some level, think that they thought there was something unique about these, and it also gives us a way to remember it. So those are two points I want you to take it out. Those are the few points I want you to take it out about. Right? One is the problems with Nidgum L'Ikarim. Right? Both that they might be too many or too few, and the possible solutions we raised last week of why the Rambam would have counted them. The second one is how Rabbi Yosef Albo thinks about Ikarim. Right? What is religion in general? What is Judaism? And he's answering that timeless question rather than the localized educational question. And the third point is that he manages to tease out of Chazal philosophical principles and simultaneously have a hook to remind you and help you inculcate the beliefs that he thinks you should believe. Right? So all those things I think are very, very important about Rosh Albo. This is a trend, and you know, it's he does actually have a very long treatment of tefillah, which is fascinating. In general, his treatment of tefillah is fascinating. And the Siddur is a philosophical work. I think one of the few things that's actually included in Jewish philosophy in the Bagrut is Yosef Albo's work, pieces on tefillah. It is very, very basic, but you see that he actually has a very unique perspective on how we should view the Siddur, in addition to sort of his, you know, philosophical things, which are Perech Bavir. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yosef Albo. Quickly now, we've already mentioned Rav Chasdai Kreskes. Rav Chasdai Kreskes, as we saw, also moves away from Rambam, and he tries to make a different count. Probably, this is Rav Leib's argument, counting what is unique about Judaism. So these are just the introductions to the Ma'amar. There are four Ma'amarim in Or Hashem. This is the introduction to the Ma'amar Hasheni, Ma'amar Hashlishi Chelek Aleph, and Ma'amar Hashlishi Chelek Bet. Right, his own division, not mine, where he counts his. And you'll see what he says, right? So he says, In this small print for us. Right, what are the foundations that the house of God is built upon? And you see already, right, what does he say? Right, what does he looking for in the Yesod? Right, Mitziut, Yitziar Mitziut HaTorah. Right, not like a Zavalbo religion, not like the Rambam, these are things you have to believe, but what are the Yesodot of the Torah? And again, right, this lashon that you've seen in Yosef Albo, right? Now remember, Yosef Albo is a student of Kreskes, so it could be that he's partially getting it not just from Duran but also from Kreskes. This notion that Yisod is that which the Ikar is that which the sine qua non, without which the religion would fall. So he said, well, what are they then? Ukishecha karnu b'hem. When I looked into them, I found shisha. I found six. Echad. Yidiyat Hashem. Yidiyat Hashem and himself. The first thing you need to know is that God is omniscient, knows what's going on in the world. Hashini, Hashkachato b'hem, and he has providence over it. Hashlishi, Yicholto, he is powerful, his ability. Revi, Anivuah, the existence of prophecy. Chamishi, Abechira, that we were chosen. And Shishi, Atachlit, the sixth is the point of the Torah. So you see why, if you're trying to not analyze religion in general and then plug in Judaism, nor are you trying to have a laundry list of everything you have to believe, you're trying to outline the general categories of Judaism, why these six might be chosen. Right? The existence, right? It's, right? There's the God's omniscience and providence, power, prophecy, chosenness, and the purpose of the Torah, right? You see, at some level, that really does capture everything by the Torah, right? That God knows what's going on and is involved in it, is powerful, right? Perform miracles and the like, right? Communicates with man, that's Nevuah. And who did he communicate with? Us, the chosen people, and he gave us the Torah, and the sixth one is Devarat Tachlit. What is the purpose of the Torah? Right? You see how those six questions really are a more focused question, not of what is religion, but what is Judaism. V'zeh l'mashayta Torah poel ritzoni mad mitzaveh. Right now he spells it out for you. Right? Why are these six important for Judaism? Because you go like this. The Torah is a function of God's will. Meyim mitzaveh, from the commander, shehu apoel, which is the actor, ela mitzuveh, to those who are commanded, asher hu amitpael, which is the one who is acted upon. Yuchiyah bechreach, in order for that to, right, hold true, you necessarily have to believe, shiyah poel yodea v'rot sever yachol. You need God to know, to desire, and to be capable of doing everything necessary to communicate and help his chosen people. And he has to then choose a nation. Right? He needs to be able to choose. I mean, God has to have free will, right? He needs to be able to choose. And we also need to be able to choose, right? We need some sort of free will. And then you need a connection between the two of them. That's Nivuah. Right, so he says, right, this is Judaism. Right, in order for Judaism to exist, you need God to know what's going on in the world, to have power over it, to choose the Jewish people. We need to have free will in what we're doing. God needs to be able to communicate what he wants and needs to give us a Torah, which we need to understand the purpose of the Torah, right? That's a summary of the questions you need to ask when you and the issues you need to deal with when you're dealing with Judaism. Right, so I think, right, Rav Bleich is probably right, that's really what he's doing. It seems to be what he's claiming that he's doing, is not just identifying the basics of religion, but of Judaism per se. And the Marmara Shlishi, he shows you that he doesn't really mean these uniquely, and he spells out some other things. And he said, "Be'emunat ha'amitut asher numan b'hem anachem v'yim b'torah Elohit, shekobar b'achem an yikramin." Right here, in the Marmara Shlishi, he really goes in the direction of Rambam. So you actually see a pitzul. In Marmara Sheni, he works on Ikarim in the almost Yosef Albo sense, but he's doing fundamentals of Judaism. In Mamar Shlishi, he doesn't deny the importance of what Rambam's doing, which is dogma. Right? So he really does both. Right? Because here it's that those things you need to believe to not be a heretic. Within the dogmas that you must believe, there are still two categories. Milvad Ashesh Shakalodama Marashani, besides the six is sodot, right? So he's building, right? Once you have this sodot, then you can have dogma, right? Once you have tenet, right? Basic bases of faith, you can have tenets of faith, right? So it's at some level shiluv between Albo and Rambam, even though historically that's just a mess of what I just said because we're taking one from before, one after, but philosophically that's really what he's doing, right? He's taking some form of the claim of Ikar of Albo, but focusing on Judaism, and then once we have the basics, then we can talk about dogma, we can talk about what you need to believe, and then within that he divides into two categories, which is just interesting to think about. Within things you have to believe, he thinks there are two categories. Those which are independent of any mitzvah, they're just things you have to believe as dogma, and then there are things you have to believe as dogma, which are themselves function of mitzvot. And just to give you an idea what he thinks, right, he says, there are eight things which you have to believe which are not connected to mitzvot, and they are chidush ha'olam, right, that the world was created, yishar ha'nefesh, the soul is immortal, gmul v'onesh, reward and punishment, chiyat ha'meisim, right, the resurrection of the dead, Suda Torah, the Torah is eternal, Avdel Shabinuvat Moshe Rabbeinu Lav Shar Nevi'im, right, the uniqueness of Moshe's Nevuah, Hayoda Kohen Gadol, Naneh Be'urim V'Tumim, right, so the first six are related to the Rambam, the seventh is already unique to Kreskes, and Ashmini Bira Mashiach, right, so it's basically, once you're going dogma, he basically takes the Rambam, so he has this unique one of Urim V'Tumim, which he adds in. He says, right, I picked these because without them you are a gopher. This next section he says, and then there are three more which he thinks are totally in mitzvot, and get a little bit cut off, but the first one is the tefillah via the Kohanim. The second is tshuva, and the third is right, the importance of the process of Yom Kippur, which is interesting as it is. Right, but he thinks that
it's connected to Olah Moadim.
Yeah, and it's connected to some of the other things, right? Like Avodah, right? Right, and Gmul Vonesh, right? Within them, right? The fact that we have to believe in Skar Vonesh, right? Well, there's also a mitzvah which is connected to that. There's a way of fixing it. That's both Yom Kippur and Tshuva, and that once we believe you have to serve God, so then there's mitzvot which are attached to that. How do you serve God? Through the Beis HaMikdash, through specifically the process of Yom Kippur, through Tefillah. Right? So for him, you really have a tripartite division. You have the Ikarim, which are the basis of Judaism. Then you have the dogmas, which you have to believe just because you have to believe them. And then you have the things, right, the implementation of those into mitzvot, which is the last section, which is, right, tefillah, tshuva, and yom kippurim, which are manifestations of the second category of the dogma. Okay, so I think that's going to be it on Ikarim. But just to summarize what we've done, right, so last week we saw the problematic categorization of Rambam, the Yugim Ikarim. We asked why he counted these 13. We raised two possibilities. Either there's nothing fundamental about these, they were raised polemically to strengthen faith because they were under attack, it's an educational tool, or perhaps these are the basis of things that you must believe, basis of faith, to not be a kofar. Then we saw the Sefer Ikarim, who moves away from that and says, no, when we're talking about Ikar, what you should do is not, you know, try to fix something up temporarily, but you should ask fundamental questions. What is religion? What is Judaism? For that, he thinks there are three. For religion in general, it's belief in God, some sort of communication from God to people, and consequences. In Judaism, that means God and all that comes with it, Torah Misinai and all that comes with that, and Skar Va'onesh. The next point that's important for him, parenthetically, is that Chazal don't have a philosophy work, so he ends up finding his sources many times in the Siddur, which is very important because it does allow us an insight not just into medieval philosophers, but into what a philosophical work by Chazal would look like. It also helps his work be popularized because it gives us something to hang it on. In the case of the three Karim, it's the three brachos of Musaf, of Shmoneh Esrei, and Rosh Hashanah, which is, I think, important on both levels, right? Again, both the statement about Chazal's treatment of dogma and the ability to really transmit these beliefs in a way that will carry. And then we saw Albo, who really is a shiluv, that he starts with Ikarim, but not the Ikarim of religion in general, but of Judaism uniquely. And then he moves to dogma, and within dogma he makes two divisions, things you have to believe, and then yet another division of how those manifest themselves in specific mitzvot, and that's how he approaches Ikarim. So that's 2 weeks on the basis of Ikarim. Obviously there's much more to go into each of the Ikarim, specifically not just what they are, but that should give you an overview if you want to pursue that further.